Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Listen to God's word. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called over to her and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands upon her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work, and on which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be cured and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his own ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of light and of love, we give you thanks for this day. We give you the thanks for the grace of waking us up this morning and calling us here so that we might praise you and so that we might draw closer to you in this hour of worship. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts might be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Draw us to you now, that we might be strengthened to your service. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I try not to make too many caveats before preaching on a text, but I will share that this is only one of many, many sermons that could be preached on this text. There's a lot that will be left out in our conversation today. And so I invite you this week, as you strive to become more available to God yourselves, to spend time in your devotions reading and meditating on this passage as well. Friends, Sabbath is a hard concept to grasp, isn't it? In an age where we can hardly resist putting down our blackberries at the dinner table, when we are sitting with our family for a meal, it's hard to imagine obeying a command to rest. If we're able to allow Sabbath to creep into our lives for a few hours on a Sunday afternoon, when we read our paper on the front porch, or just simply sit there on the swing and look at the birds as they fly by, we consider ourselves lucky and maybe a little bit faithful for resisting the urge to get up and spring to work, and for resisting the urge to call ourselves lazy. Sabbath is not an easily reinforced concept in our culture of our present day. Not only are businesses open on Sunday, but with so much to do, it is hard to give ourselves permission to stop. Frankly, as many times as we remember that God rested on the seventh day and called us to rest, or as many times as we have reviewed our Ten Commandments in Sunday school and vacation Bible school throughout our lives, we might find that Sabbath is a pretty foreign concept to us. Unless we are blessed with Jewish friends or relatives who have included us in their Sabbath observance, we might struggle to identify a tradition of Sabbath keeping in our lives. How does one rest when there is so much to be done? How does one rest when there is so much need in this world? Our scripture passage for today shows us that this is not just a dilemma for our day. When those who are authorities on the subject of Sabbath cannot agree and what should be done, we know we're in trouble. Let's go back to the commandment in Deuteronomy. Listen to the commandment God issues back in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 5 reads, "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as well as you. Remember that you once were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." In our passage this morning, we read that Jesus and the leader of the synagogue disagree on how to apply this teaching. Now, while it's easy for us to read this text as if Jesus is dismissing the letter of the law, in fact, both of these teachers are striving to identify what sort of behavior, what sort of practice most faithfully honors this command. Jesus is not throwing the baby out with the bathwater in this text. In our reading of this text, it's easy to take on a spirit of dualism. Jesus was right, the leader of the synagogue is wrong. It's easy to say grace is good, works are bad. It's easy to say that there is a clear right hand, that there is a clear right and a clear wrong in the story. That the law must be surrendered in favor of acts of love and kindness. It's easy for us to read this passage and walk away with the clear understanding that the law is bad and that compassion is good. We forget that this story is about two teachers trying to be faithful, trying to do their best to honor God and to observe God's commandment. Let's take a look at this story from the temple leader's perspective, just for a minute. Because if we take a look at his angle, we see that he has a little bit of standing on this matter. After all, the woman who has come with an ailment is not a life-threatening ailment, is it? It is an affliction with which she has lived for 18 years. This temple leader is not saying she should not be healed. Rather, he is saying, listen, here's my both-and solution. On this day, on the Sabbath day, let's observe the Sabbath, but just come back a little later and be healed. So he is not dismissing the need for healing in this story. He's trying to do both within his understanding of the context of the law and his desire to serve God faithfully. And then we take a look at Jesus's both and solution in this text. His response is not, as I said, one of dismissing the command to honor the Sabbath or saying that such an observance is unimportant. After all, Jesus himself was at the temple practicing the works of the law, observing the Sabbath that day. He and his disciples were worshiping God within the context of his Jewish faith. But his healing of this woman, this freeing of her from the bondage of her physical affliction, is in fact Christ's way of honoring the Sabbath. For he hears not only that first part of the command, does he? He hears not only the call to observe the Sabbath and to rest, but he carries out the command as it continues. The command that reads that all shall rest, that all shall be freed from their labor, that all shall be released from that which binds them, from the slavery imposed upon them, so that everyone might worship God on the Sabbath. So Jesus is not offering us a free pass to stay busy on the Sabbath. Jesus is offering us an opportunity to live into the fullness of the Sabbath teachings from God. Jesus is calling us to embrace the Sabbath command, a command whose richness is about far more than personal rest, but in fact is a call to justice. Barbara Brown Taylor writes in her book, An Altar in This World, Sabbath is the true God's gift to those who wish to rest and to be free. And for those who are willing to guard those same gifts for every living thing in their vicinity as well. Remember the commandment? It's not just for you. It's for your children, for your employees, for your volunteer helpers and your hunting dogs, for your plow horses and your fields, for your migrant workers. It does not matter in the least whether they believe in your God. You do believe in God, so they get the day off. Anyone who engages in this practice discovers saving habits of work and rest that promise life not only for each of us individually, but also for our families, our communities, our far-flung neighbors, our systems of justice, our human economies, and our planet. Sabbath keeping is about freedom. The freedom from our labors, but also the freedom to trust God. Sabbath is about the freedom to know that all we have is not of our own making. That while our labors may participate in our own, in the well-being of ourselves and of others, life itself and our many blessings are gifts from a gracious and generous God. The Sabbath command to rest frees us from our labors so that we might fully worship God without distraction, without disclaimers, but fully with a sense of gratitude and life. It invites us to take a step back from all that is around us that clouds our vision, from all that is around us that so quickly distracts us from seeing that the world in which we live, that our very lives, are beautiful gifts from a beautiful God. What's more, the Sabbath command claims that right for everyone, for you, for all whose labors meet your needs, for your animals, for the land, for all of creation. This is hard to grasp for those of us busy bees whose labor is a labor of love. I count myself among them. This is a difficult concept to grasp for all of us whose identity is so tied directly to the work we do at our jobs or in our homes or in our communities that we feel like we're putting aside a piece of ourselves in order to rest and guarantee that rest for others. This is also hard for all of us who are struggling to earn a living and who know that hours worked equals dollars earned and cash in our pockets to feed our families. This is hard to grasp for many of us who were raised with a Protestant work ethic and who might find ourselves feeling guilty from resting from our labors when there is so much to be done. Friends, the woman was freed from her affliction, not because her affliction would have brought her a physical death. Rather, Jesus freed her. It's so interesting. The Greek in this text is the word for release, not heal. Jesus released her from her affliction, from that which bound her, from that which held her back from fullness of life, because her life was so precious. Her need to worship God so great that how could he wait another day to allow her to live fully as God's beloved daughter? The best way to worship God was for Jesus to free another of God's children from the bondage that held her back from her own Sabbath rest and worship. We know this woman, don't we? We might be this woman. We can name those whose postures are bent over from the weight of the world, those who are in physical pain that is so limiting it distracts them from their ability to have a fullness of life, from those who are bent over from the weight of an addiction, those who are bent over under the weight of depression, those who are bent over under the weight of negative words that have shaped their identity, of opportunities and affection that has been withheld from them. We know those who are bent over from the weight of oppression and abuse systematically, personally afflicted on another. We know those who are bent over from the weight of grief, those who are bent over from the weight of financial strain, those who are bent over from the weight of fear or worry or anger or stress. Sure, they or we might be able to bear up under this strain for some time, for years, maybe 18 years, maybe more. We might be so familiar with this posture that it might even seem okay. But we are called to Sabbath justice, to this both and solution presented to us from this God of life who was enfleshed in Christ Jesus. We are called to this both and solution that sees the fulfillment of God's law as stemming from acts of loving kindness, that acknowledges the inherent worth of all of God's children, of all of God's creation, as well as the necessity of each one of them, of each one of us, to be released from our burdens and freed to love the God who made us, who redeemed us, and who sustains us every day. How do we do it? How do we rest and liberate? How do we honor the Sabbath simultaneously in these two ways? All I really know is we've got to do both. But I think that one of the tricks to doing both is to honor the Sabbath theology every day. It is not just a once-a-week theology. But if in the living of our daily lives, we embody the spirit of trust and of gratitude that comes from surrendering a day of our work to God's hands, and if we live every day of our lives with a spirit of justice, that we might every day participate in the liberating work of those who are oppressed in our world, that just might help. We are called to turn to God in trust and love and gratitude. And we are called to view our life of faith as one in which we partner with Christ's redemptive work of reconciliation, of new life in Christ. If you need more help learning about this life, I invite you to dig into God's work, for the Sabbath theology is richly displayed throughout all of Scripture. From the very first chapter of this beautiful Word of God, where God commands, where God rests and invites us to rest, through the Exodus narrative, through the commandments in Deuteronomy, through Leviticus and the Jubilee theology, and onward into Christ's teaching, it's here. So let us turn to God's word for guidance. But I think the other trick to this both and approach to Sabbath justice is to somehow find a way to give ourselves permission to partake of a Sabbath rest. For I think that it is only if we view this as an essential for ourselves, something we need, like water and bread and love and prayer. It is only in this spirit that we just might honor this opportunity for others. Just as we are called to ensure that our ability to rest is not borne on the backs of others, we are likewise called to rest, so that we too might experience the freedom of not just doing church, of not just doing faith, but of being God's children, of experiencing the love and grace that God has given us, so that we are strengthened for these acts of loving kindness, for these acts of justice, for these acts of invitation every day of our lives. And when in doubt, we are reminded in Christ's example that love and life trump bondage and death. For the greatest commandment is to love. When it's all said and done, may we cling to God's gracious promises, so freely given to us in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, so that we might be freed from the shackles of sin and death, so that we might be freed to new life and love. May our Sabbath justice be a reflection of the goodness and power of God's grace in our lives, this day and every day. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our one God, our only God, fierce in your goodness, holy and mighty in all that you do, we come yet again to you as people who have nothing to offer you but the confession that we want to live from your great free mercy. We thank you that you invite and encourage us to come here. You do not forget us. Let us not forget you. You do not tire. Let us not grow weary. You choose and desire what is right and wholesome for each one of us. Protect us from our willful wants and desires. Lord, we pray for all you who gather in your name on this day, whether here or anywhere else. And we pray for the world that so needs our courageous, clear, joyful witness. And so we pray that our Sabbath keeping might be such a witness, that people can see that our priorities are not making money, are not producing, but are being and being together and serving and justice making and being silent before you and being recreated and being refreshed by your word and then sharing this refreshment, this new life, this recreation with others. And we ask you for wisdom for the powerful of the earth, who by your commission are to care for justice and for peace. We ask for sobriety for those who day after day write our newspapers, for love and constancy for all parents and teachers, for a cheerful peaceableness in all families and homes, for open hearts and hands for the poor and the forsaken, for relief and patience for the sick, for the hope of eternal life for the dying. We thank you that we may spread all this out before you, you who know far better than we what we need and what will best serve your weak church and your poor, confused world. Before you, who can and will help us far beyond our asking and understanding. We are in your hands. We bow to your judgment and we glorify your grace. Amen. And we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.